I remember growing up as a little boy down the street. I went to a church down the street called St. Paul United Methodist Church. It's just, that's me. That is me and my plaid vest and all. How about that? That's awesome. So I grew up, this little kid, and this other picture, you want to put the other one? I have another picture. This little kid. I know. What I do for you, the shame and all that stuff, what I do. Humility for you. So I grew up at St. Paul, and I went to church. Man, we went to church every Sunday at St. Paul. It's like literally 10 miles down Bells Ferry from here towards Marietta. And it's still there, matter of fact. And I went to that church and grew up in that church. And I remember one of my favorite stories as a little boy when I was sitting, because we would sit through the singing, amen, the singing, right? The singing out of the hymnals, right? And so my parents were the average parents of the 70s, right? And, Three Dog Night was one of our favorites around the house. And so when the musician lady, whatever she was called, got up and said, hey, we're going to turn to him, blah, 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 and we're going to sing Joy to the World. Well, they hit the first thing, and what does this little kid do? He sends out, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. Still to this day, I can't sing that song, Joy to the World, without those words rattling around in my head. Yeah, yeah. So, and actually, really, all I got was Jeremiah was my mom's hand smacked me in the mouth. That's a true story. That's a true story. So we would always get up. So if you went to maybe one of the traditional churches from back in the early 80s, and maybe some still do, one of the things they did for all the little kids, you would sit through worship. I mean, not worship. It was singing. It was the music, and I mean, it's worship. Obviously, it's worship. But I don't want to mess anything up here. Yeah, rewind. So, yeah, my prayer a lot of Sundays is just, David, don't say anything stupid. Just, okay. Lord, help me not say anything stupid. So one of the things they would do is the kids under the elementary age would come up, and they would come up, and the pastor would be standing up here, and the kids would, how many of y'all remember that when you were, anybody have that when you were a kid? Yeah, I see y'all. And the kids would all gather up, and our pastor back then, he would always have something in his pocket, and we had to guess what was in his pocket. And so he would teach about whatever he'd be teaching on, and we'd have to guess at the end what he has in his pocket. So that was kind of the thing. And then so we didn't have like electricity back then. We didn't have like an elementary class. So after preschool and all that, the younger classes were over, like we would, I don't know what the age looked like, but there was a time where you just sat through the whole service, right? When you're a little bit older and probably not old enough to really be doing that, but just old enough. And so our church had wood slats in the roof. It was actually beautiful inside that church. And it was wood, and it was just amazing. So during the sermon, you would find me sitting like this, counting the slats in the service. How many of y'all remember doing crazy stuff like that when you were a kid? Yeah. So I always wonder, what do people count? Like, what do kids count? Like, but like to the average person looking at me, they would think, man, that kid's just like, he's just bored to tears. He just doesn't know what's going on. Like, he's just out of it. But little did people know. Little did people know that there would be times when we would say the creed. There would be times when we would sing a hymn. And as my little kid, because, you know, we all had to hold the hymnal and look at it and sing, right? That was like a lot. Sing, sing. Like that was what, yeah, okay, we're singing. But sometimes those words, right, would pop off that page to this little 10, 11-year-old kid. And it would be significant to me. I would read the creed and go, wow, that's what we believe. That's That's the essence of why we're here. And things would jump out, you know, and I would have those moments, and then I'd go back to counting the things on the ceiling. But like, things were happening inside of me. And so on some nights, we had what we really did call it a singing. So we would, on like some Thursday, I think one Thursday night a month, we would get together, and the lady, Dorothy McCracken, how about that? I remembered her name. Who was actually, I looked up this church while I was studying. She's still playing piano down at that church. Like, I don't know, like how old, like how old, that, she's amazing. Like, she's a servant just going for Jesus, right? I mean, and that was 30 years ago. So, and this is what we would sing out of. We would sing out of the Cokesbury Worship Hymnal. Have you ever seen a Cokesbury Worship Hymnal? This was like my favorite thing. I don't know if you know. So one of the things I like is I like old hymnals. So actually, my wife bought me she was in England, and she bought me a John Wesley hymnal, and it's dated from the 1860s. This hymnal is amazing. One of my prized possessions that I own. It's amazing. Yeah, that's Julie. She just knows. And one of the things we would do, and so this little kid, we would do the singing, and then the thing was, you got to take out your Cokesbury hymnal and shout out requests. It was like request night for Dorothy playing the piano. And this is what I would do almost every Thursday night, unless my parents would go, don't request that song again. I would do this almost every time we would get together. It would be, I want to do number 30. You know what number 30 is? It's the old rugged cross. It says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best. For a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies I gladly lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And something about that song, something about those hymns grabbed hold of a little boy's heart. You know where? In a church. In a church. Where people thought maybe that, you know, where's this little kid going? What's he little kid doing? What's he going to be? In a little church, 10 miles down the road. God spoke to a little kid. Then some of you know my story. Then later, when I turned 16, my dad would pass away, and then I completely turned away from the Lord, completely turned away from. But you know what? When the time came, I knew where to go back. Because of what God did in that little boy all those years before, I knew where to go back. You know why? Because of church. Because what God can do in a church body. I believe in the church. So we changed the creed. Some of you may be wondering why we changed the Christian church from the Catholic church to the Christian church. It's not saying that we don't believe in Catholics. That's not what we're saying. Catholic, the word Catholic just means unified or worldwide, right? All unified churches who herald the name of the rest of that creed, right? The unified church is the Catholic church. But I remember being a little boy and go, Mom, are we Catholic? So you say, we're close, we're Methodist. Which you have a lot of similarities, right? There's some similarities in the way you do services. She said, so it always confused me. So that's why we changed it, not for making a doctrine or denominational Xing off all the Catholics. We don't do that here. Amen? But we say the Holy Christian Church. So let's go to the scriptures and talk about the church as we begin. Actually, this is probably going to be about 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks that we're going to talk about this. So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, Others say Elisha. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am is a question of questions. Amen? For all the ages. It rings out even to us today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Then Simon Peter, in verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. So many things to unpack out of this scripture. The first thing is, it's interesting that when Jesus asked who do they say I am, it's interesting that Peter's answer was, you are the Christ, right? The Messiah. It's interesting, and it's just a thought, just as an aside, it's an interesting idea that when you know you are the Christ and you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. When we know who Jesus is, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit on the earth, and who have given the task of proclaiming the present and future reign of God in the world, the administration of the ordinances and sacraments, and the way the church is founded. I thought that was so well, I just thought I'd read it. That we are, the purpose of the church is to represent Jesus on this earth, to represent him on the earth. So when we talk about the church, when Jesus talks about the church, he declares something over Peter, right? He declares something over Peter, the person Peter, that he will be, right? Once in some way, Peter is going to be this catalyst, and we see it in Acts chapter 2 when he gets up and preaches the first sermon. And kind of becomes this leader in the movement of the church in the early day. But understand, it's also founded on Peter, who made the proclamation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And upon that proclamation, and because Peter made this proclamation, it defines who we are. Who are we as a church? Simply put, we believe in the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he also says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't care where you've been and where you've looked in history. There's always been the church. No, there's no power that can shut the church up. There's no government that can shut the church up. We've tried it before. People have tried it before. They try it in China, and it only grows. No, there is no weapon that can overcome God's church, because the church is the answer. It's us, the people of God, the assembly of God's people is the answer. You can persecute us and we'll only grow. And if Jesus declared that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that's what I believe. Amen? Amen? So what kind of church are we? The first thing that we are is we are disciple makers. The church is set up to be disciple makers. Go all over and make disciples. Not just make converts, right? But make disciples. People who look like Jesus. What do we do on a Sunday morning? One of the things that we do, we gather together and we worship God. But also, whoever's up here, we speak a word to encourage and help us grow and have our image change from our own image into his image. We change from our ways of doing things to his ways, right? We're disciple makers to make people like Jesus. We're also proclaimers of healing to every person. I'm not just talking about physical healing, that part too, but healing for your heart, healing for your mind, healing, you know, like for every part of you is found in Jesus. It's found in him. And we are proclaimers of that. And I would say, let me just say, it's just on my heart. This, we're not just proclaimers of doctrine. We're not just proclaimers. We do that, right? But if we're proclaimers that God can set you free, God can heal hearts, He can mend wounds of your life. We are proclaimers of, we have that answer. It's in the church, right? The purpose of the church. We're also, I got ahead of myself. We're also anointed ones to bring deliverance to the captives. The church. That's who we are. That's who God's called us to be. So I'm going to read this scripture in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Here we see the church at this time, early on in the church, only in Acts chapter 4. We see the early church, we see them being persecuted. Matter of fact, Peter's arrested, right? And he comes back and he's telling them, because they're telling him, don't preach, stop this, not stop it, right? And so Peter comes back and he says this. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and they told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Let me stop there. This is a moment in history for us. In our nation, right? This is a moment. We all recognize it, right? This is a moment for our nation. This is a moment for the people of God. This is a moment for American Christians. What's the answer? It's the same answer that they said back then when things were happening against the church. It's the same answer. Don't mistake it. The answer is, hang on, and I'll tell you. He said, when they heard the report, the believers lifted their voices in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, creator of earth and sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through the ancestor David, your servant, saying, think about this scripture in our day. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against His Messiah. And in fact, they're saying that about then. In fact, this is happening here in this very city. For Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the governor of the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against the Jews. Your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer meeting, the place shook and the people were filled with the Holy Spirit and preached the word of God with boldness. Church, listen, the answer to us, the answer to our world and our things that are going on in our world is nothing but prayer for boldness. Pray that we would speak God's word. Not our opinions, not all of our other stuff. Preach God's word with boldness. And pray that God would use us to bring healing to people, deliverance to people, that people would be blown away by the power of God, that just by the word, just like a little boy in a church service, who to everybody else looked like he was just daydreaming. God was working on that person. Listen, we can't forget the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God, not our opinions, not all of our other ideas. It's the Word of God. You know what sets the captives free? The Word of God. The Word of God. The message of the gospel has the power of salvation. Amen. And of deliverance and help to people. Listen, you know, listen, when a world turns, like, let me just say it. People are leaving, have left the church in droves. We understand the time we're living in America. The number of people who call themselves, who prove their Christianity by their actively going to church is about 25 to 30%. Some of us are old enough to remember that that blows your mind away. The people who, now people who call themselves believers but don't go to church, that number is 45%. Those, you got to understand, those numbers in the last 20 years have done this. Church, we got our work cut out for us. And it's the power of the gospel. Amen. That God still loves people. He still wants to deliver people. He still wants to take people whose minds are confused and bring light to them by the word of God. That God loves them and is for them. And wants to bring people back in relationship with Him. The church. And you know what? God's anointed us to do it. Do you know how to get God excited? Evidently, God got so excited about that prayer. He went, yeah! And the whole place was shaken. Come on. Yes. There's something that cranked God's tractor when they prayed for boldness to preach His word. And the cranking of His tractor shook the place. Amen? You want to have God pleased with our prayer, pleased with our life? Say, God, Your word is the most important thing. God, I pray, God, that You would send revival. And God, not just revival as a general weird thing, but God, use me. Let me preach the word with boldness. Let me speak. Let me be an example of Your goodness and love and kindness to everyone I meet. That I herald the name of Jesus accurately. And that's why I say so much. The most important thing you can learn is the person and character of Jesus. The person and character of Jesus. Study His life. Hear His teachings. Hear things like, you know, like, well, I guess it was John the Baptist, but he said, like, if you have two cloaks, give one to somebody else. This idea of selflessness that the church should look like, to accurately represent Him. And we do it in this amazing thing called the church. Oh, the church may have looked bad at times. And man, the church has made some people just walk away from their faith. But it's still the beloved thing of God that God wants to use, that God loves His church. Do you know my wife and I pray over this church? Our scripture for our church as we pray over the church, this says this scripture in Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives, right? And how do husbands love their wives? Listen to this, and let's maybe take that analogy out and just listen to what it says. Husbands, love your wives. Watch this. As Christ loved the church and tenderly cares for the church. And so when my wife and I pray for this church. Go, God, You love Hope Church. You tenderly care for Hope Church. God loves the church. And it is everything in me to make sure we do Him right. It is everything in me to act to represent Him well. Amen? And to do with all of, listen, I was going to say this and then I'll shut up. Listen, when we live in a world where the rampant sin, obviously, and rampant turning away from God and doing things their own way, when that happens, we know what happens even in our life when we turn away from God. And we turn to, like, sin. It brings destruction into our life. And you know what that destruction brings? Brokenness. I got good news for you, church. You know who's the best at healing the brokenhearted? Jesus. There may come a time where we are dealing with so many brokenhearted people because of the sin culture in our world that it's going to be the church that rises up. Amen. Because we have the healing. that God, through us, gives us the power to heal those who are broken. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he goes, you just, the way you talk, you sound like a second chance person. I go, yeah, I sure am. I love second chance people. Because I was a second chance person. God gave me second, third, fourth. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?